Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, 5021 East Columbus Drive in Ybor City, home of the best devil crabs in town. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of one of the best draft parties this area, Tampa Bay, has ever seen. We took the roof off that mother. Phenomenal food. It's all fresh, and it's the only place in Tampa where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. It's at the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's get it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select O.J. Yeah!
What's my name?
Jason!
Jason! Jason! Jason! Jason! Jason! Jason! Jason! Jason!
Right back into this. Speak softly, carry a big mother...
Bucks Uncensored, and it's Memorial Day weekend. To me, it's the unofficial start of summer, which means, yeah, pool, beach, let's go. Uh-huh. God. I think I lost so much weight so I can just show off my physique. Memorial Day weekend. Listen, I'm not going to be the guy that tells you, hey, remember what this weekend's all about. I mean, I got it. I know every stick carrier's got it. We know what it's all about. Love what our military does for us. Love it. Also love Memorial Day. Barbecue, pool, beach, sun, and for me, Orlando. What's up with that? Universal Studios. I haven't been there in years. Gonna go and have some fun in Orlando for the weekend. Well, you're listening to this on the weekend, so I'm already there. Follow along on Snapchat. And Snapchat, it's jpulowski324. And at Commish Online on Instagram, Facebook, and the old Twitter. And you can follow our travels. Our travels. This is going to be a special podcast. I have gone through and listened to the Bucks takes. Not all of them will play, but I'll play as many as I can. As I said, we're going to have themes for the Saturday podcasts. And so I thank each and every one of you. By the way, last Saturday, so usually the week, during the week, Monday and Wednesday podcasts get more downloads than the Saturday one. Last Saturday's podcast was outstanding. One of the highest downloaded Saturday podcasts I've had. So that just shows me you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Well, if that's how strong last Saturday was in late May, holy shit. Just understand, things are happening. Things are going very well. I was just listening to the open there and hearing some of those some of the things that were happening at the draft party. And I was like, "Man, what, you know, should I literally just updated the open to the podcast." And I was like, "When should I change that again?" And then I was like, "We got a training camp takeover. We've got Stick Carrier Day coming up in like 2 months. I think I can make it 2 months. And do you know how much audio we're going to get from that? And the parties we're going to throw, and the it's going to be mind-boggling what's about to transpire in the upcoming year. I mean, truly incredible and truly exciting. So very excited for that. But for this podcast, you know, Memorial Day, remembering, I wanted to do some of your most memorable moments when it came to the Bucks. It's a Bucks podcast. It's Bucks Uncensored. Folks, I will tell you this. I listened to all these Bucks takes that came in from so many Stick Carriers out there. I don't remember hearing the same moment twice. I mean, I'll take that back. A couple people did say Rondae Barber's interception in the NFC Championship game. But it was obscure. Some of them were very obscure, which was good. It was more memorable to them in the moment, why it was memorable. You know, maybe they, you know, had something going on in their personal life and it relates to that specific game or that specific play. I remember every single play that all of you talked about, so it's a treat for me to already have listened to them, and it's going to be a double treat for me to hear them again. Very excited about this. I think for a Saturday podcast, if you are by the pool, beach, getting stuff done, working on the house, working in the yard, getting the honeydews done, this is going to be a great podcast for you, because you're going to hear some stuff that's just going to kind of help pass the time. Very, very enjoyable to hear these stories. Just great. And we really learn about each other. You know, more Stick Carriers being open and honest. And, you know, it's funny. And I think if you're going to email me, I think you're okay with me sharing what you send me. And I got an awesome email from Logan. Logan posted on our Stick Carrier Facebook page as well. By the way, if you're not a member there yet, just go to facebook.com and search for Stick Carriers and join the group. It's a closed group, so you have to send whatever, you know. Oh, I want to be a member of this group. Well, the only person that's going to see it is me, and I'm accepting everyone. I just want to, there's, you know, you want to weed out some people that you know are not looking to have the good time that all of us are looking for when it comes to being a member and working together. So just know that you can just go ahead and send the request. It comes directly to me, and I literally hit accept, and everyone gets in. I can do it right from my phone. So Logan sent me an email, actually, and said, just want to say thank you. Your podcast has helped me through a lot. It's like Christmas morning for me every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Keep up the great work, and as always, and that's where it ended. Now, he did post on our Facebook page, and I want to read what he posted on our Facebook page. This is from Logan. And this is, again, opening up not just to me, but to everyone on the Facebook page, and now the thousands upon thousands listening to this right now. Logan, I appreciate you being open and honest with us. He said on the Facebook page, so I've been hearing all the great Bucks takes lately. I just feel like I need to say this. I suffer from depression. I have my good days and my bad. But honestly, listening to all of you guys and Justin, you guys have no idea how much it helps me for that hour. I can just not think or worry about the constant battle I have with myself. I truly feel like you guys are my family. Thank you. I live in Oklahoma. OKC boys, where are you? I live in Oklahoma. Now, but I'll be home for about a month in September, and I would love to meet some of you guys. Just remember to speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. I've already emailed him back, but Logan, when you're in town, I'd love to get with you, you know, meet you, chat with you, and I think I speak for many people listening to this right now. I need, Logan, I need you to listen to me. Be interactive on the Facebook page. And there are thousands of people who are going to echo what I'm going to say right now as well. Not that. Jeez. Really? Now, computer, you fuck. Not you, Logan. Logan, if you ever need somebody to talk to, if you ever need somebody to bounce ideas off of, if you're ever having, you said you have your good days and your bad, if you're ever having a good day or a bad day, reach out. Let me know. Email me. Tweet at me. Post on Facebook. You got a lot of people that would be willing to even if it's just to talk football, to take your mind off of things. We want to help each other. Okay? We've had a lot of people share some very personal things on this podcast. Racism. A divorce. Travis going through a separation and a divorce up in Michigan. Logan going through, like, really? Logan going through his depression. I mean, a lot of people are sharing some stuff on this podcast. And why? Because we all feel very close to each other. And so I ask all of you, if you see Logan posting on the Facebook page, reach out to him. Introduce yourself. And Logan, feel free to reach out to anyone. That's what we are. You know, people want to say that we're negative and that we're a mob and we're this and we're that. We're not. Okay? There's a lot of caring people that are part of this community. And that's what makes us so strong, right? Strength in numbers. But when we come together as one group, as one movement, as one fraternity, they can't stop us. They can't stop us. We take care of each other, and by taking care of each other, we defend each other against people that want to tear us down. So, Logan, you got a lot of family members looking to help you. All right, I want to share one of my stories. I'm going to share probably some more as we get into the Bucks takes. But a lot of you went through the positive years, right? 97 onward. My memory or most memorable moment came inside the old Tampa Stadium. We used to sit in row 74 in the old Tampa Stadium. I believe it was the Bears in town. Bucks were playing the Bears. You all remember Trent Dilfer's infamous game, right? The 7 interception game. We were there in attendance. We had been there, obviously season ticket holders. We had noticed that there was a player's wife that sat behind us. It was Trent Dilfer's wife. Some of you have heard me tell this story on the radio before, but this is uncensored. So Trent Dilfer's wife sat behind us about 2 rows back. We're in the 74th row. And for this particular game, it was late in the season. I was there with a friend of mine from school. We were in middle school. My dad, wearing a Trent Dilfer jersey. And so we go to the game, and Dilfer throws 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it was after the 7th interception, I think. And that was it. My dad wasn't mad. I think it was just because the Bucks just weren't good anyway, and so it just got to the point where it was just a laughing matter. So my dad takes off the Dilfer jersey and slams it on the bench. And, you know, he's just trying to make people laugh. And he did a good job at it. Everyone laughed. Except Mrs. Dilfer. And it was at that moment where Mrs. Dilfer, you could see, was just fuming. And my dad sat down next to me. And he said, "Son, I feel horrible. I should have not done that. I just got caught up in the moment." And it was kind of a teaching moment for me. But then again, I went on to act like an ass anyway. So he's telling me this. And all of a sudden, he's talking to his son. He's talking to his son. She knows because we've been there the whole season, sitting two or three rows in front of her. So he's talking to his son and telling him, I feel horrible. I can't believe I did that. She stands up and goes, if you have something to say to me, you say it to my face. You big pussy. You're nothing but a big pussy. You're a nobody. I'm a somebody, and you're a nobody. You'll never be anybody. Huh. Okay, Mrs. Dilfer. So my dad looked at her, nodded, and said, okay. So my dad, this is probably where I got it from, center of attention, wants to make people laugh, started introducing himself to everyone around. We're all season ticket holders, right? We all know each other. Hi, I'm nobody. Hi, I'm nobody. Hi, you probably don't know me. I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Introduces himself as nobody to everyone around. She's fucking pissed. She's pissed because everyone is taking his side, laughing at him, or laughing with him at her. And she's not handling it well. So the game continues on. And I don't know, 5-10 minutes goes by. And all of a sudden, I was like, what the f-? I mean, I was 12, so I was probably like, what the hell? Or no, probably didn't even say hell at that point. Now I'm just cussing like a sailor on the podcast. So I'm sitting there, my dad's to my right. And who comes slithering in between us? Mrs. Dilfer. And she goes, I just want to apologize for my outburst. And she didn't do it in front of everyone. She yelled at him in front of everyone. But I just want to apologize. I shouldn't have said what I said. And he looked at her right in the eyes, right next to me. And he goes, I'm worth more than your husband will ever be worth. Now go back to your seat, shut up, and don't say another word the rest of the game. I was like, oh my God, in your face, bitch. Get the fuck out of here. It was amazing. I mean, I look so up to my parents, my mom and my dad. But, I mean, at that moment, I was just like, wow. He didn't give, he just gave it right back to her. And he didn't say it loud. He just said it so that she could hear it, and then I was right there so I could hear it. And she slithered back to her seat and didn't say a word the rest of the game, and that was the last time we ever saw Mrs. Dilfer at a Bucks game. Way to go, Dad. My most memorable moment at Raymond or at the old Tampa Stadium for any Bucks game. And trust me, there were a lot of moments. We're going to hear a lot of those moments next.
Bucks Uncensored.
Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
All right, let's get some Bucks takes in. Hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. I know I am, even though this is recorded. I just know that I'm enjoying myself right now. Here's the topic, as you know, as you just heard, one of my most memorable moments, but your most memorable moments with the Bucks. and got a lot of Bucks takes we want to get to. You're going to really enjoy some of these stories, some of them really personal stories, and some of them will just take you right back into Tampa Stadium and Raymond James Stadium for some of the most memorable times in Buccaneers history. For a guy who knows all about Buccaneers history, he's been there for a lot of it. No offense, Garv. I'm not saying anything about your age. I'm just saying it's Garv.
Justin Garv in Sarasota, at JP Garv on Twitter. I must be nuts. I'm sneaking out of work to do this take on one of my favorite memories. There's so damn many of them. The field goal, the return touchdown by Spurlock. But the one I think was the most dramatic for me was the first game in 1997 at the Sombrero. The game where the 49ers came to town and the Buccaneers were coming into their own, and we kicked the shit out of them. Knocked out Rice. I think we knocked out Young, too. Sapp and Brooks dominated, and everybody knew leaving the stadium that we weren't taking crap anymore. And that's the way it is now, guys. We're not taking crap anymore. You can just feel it. It's going to be that kind of a season and better. So that's my memory. 1997, 20 years ago, beating the 49ers. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
It was no doubt the coming out party for the Bucs defense. I mean, when they knocked out Steve Young and then tore Jerry Rice's ACL and Warren Sapp was all over the place, it was at that point where I think everyone, and there was about 50,000 people in the stadium at that point, but that was the start of the 5-0 stretch to start that season. But during that game, I remember looking at my dad going, what is going on here? This is not the team we're accustomed to seeing in the 80s and 90s. And they went on to the playoffs that year and had the home game against the Detroit Lions, another one of my most memorable moments. Being able to go to a playoff game and then win that playoff game. Just special, special moment in Buccaneer history, at least for me. Justin's up next. I just love this guy's name.
Commish. Another stick carry. This is Justin from Virginia. Just calling in to give my Bucks take on Bucks. Big special moment. Mine would have to be Rondé Barber taking it to the house in the NFC Championship game in Philly to go to the Super Bowl. Growing up a big UVA fan, Rondé Barber with Rondé and Tiggy, that was just the biggest play. You know, nobody gives a chance in Philly. That game, we were up, I think right at the time it was 20-10, and Philadelphia come knock on the door, it's like, oh my God, here we go again. Rondé seals it, picks it off, takes it to the house. Gene Deckerhoff's yelling, Bucks going to the Super Bowl! Loved it. Loved it. So that would be my biggest sports moment for the Bucks, for sure. Super Bowl was great, but that was sealing the deal. All right, Justin. Appreciate all you do, man. Sponsors, sports legends, Bricados, B4, which I got a case on the way for this weekend. First case. Super pumped. Headliners Barbershop. Y'all have a good day, and always speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Yeah. I hope y'all took advantage of that, man. Thank you to B4 for giving stick carriers 50% off all week long just by using the code stick carriers. And, man, it was all I got mine. I know you got yours as well. So that's good stuff. And you want to have a hangover during Memorial Day weekend so you can party all weekend. Good one, Justin. Yeah, when Rondé Barber picked off that pass by Donovan McNabb and took it back for a touchdown, it was cold. Remember in Tampa that night? I was in jeans. I had like a long, maybe I had a hoodie on, and I was running around crazy in my living. We had a huge party. There were a bunch of people over at my parents' house, and I was running around, and then I wasn't drinking. I just lost it, and I ran and jumped in the swimming pool fully clothed. I was so pumped up. You know what, Jason Light? I'm the original. I'm the OG when it comes to jumping in the pool fully clothed. I did it for the NFC Championship game. It was awesome. Took a shower, put my old school Bucko Bruce huge ski jacket on because it was cold outside, I remember, and we didn't know what to do. So we just went to the stadium, and we got to the stadium, and there were thousands of people, just everyone just congregated to the stadium. It was incredible. That was one of the most incredible nights of all time, just being there. There wasn't even anything going on. There was no event. Maybe the team was going to drive by, maybe. And people just wanted to go and yell and scream and party, and it was awesome. And then the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl, and I just remember going to the press box after the Super Bowl, watched the game at my parents', went to the press box, and I mean, so many tequila shots that night. I mean, so many. Somehow ended up at the Steak and Shake on Fowler, put a quarter in the machine, took out all the newspapers. I was like, collector's items. Ah. And I didn't keep any of them. Lost all of them. So it was so awesome. Both of those nights were really, really amazing. All right, let's get Outlaw on. Hey, Outlaw.
Bidwell, the holder, Dave Moore, the snapper. It'll be low trajectory, and the Eagles are going to try to block it. Here is Dave Moore, the snap, the hold, the kick. It is good!
Good!
Good! Good! Fox beat the Eagles! Matt Bryan is my hero! Life in Tampa. The Home Eagles. Bucs win the old-fashioned way with a 62-yard field goal. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, Commish, Outlaw. Hope you enjoyed that. That's my all-time favorite memory, being at a Bucs game, man. I was sitting there in my seat with my dad. We were just laughing as Matt Bryant goes out there. We're just kind of waiting, taking crap from Eagles fans. And then he hit that. Dude, I don't know. It was like absolute mayhem. I mean, grown men hugging each other. My phone fell out of my pocket, busted in like three pieces. It was a radio or a phone or something. I didn't even care. I mean, what a memory. So that's my all-time favorite Bucks home game memory. But my all-time favorite memory is Rondé Barber going for the pick six, pointing his, you know, with his thumb at the back of his jersey at his name as he danced in the end zone, and we blew up the vet, baby. Ha ha! Oh, dude, I get goosebumps. All right, dude. Hey, good job on all the plans. Can't wait to get together for the season, watch parties and tailgating. So, hey, have a good weekend. Good Memorial Day weekend. And as always, speak softly. Carry a big motherfucking stick.
Man,
crushed it.
I remember that Eagles game, and the fans were talking so much shit the entire game, and they sent Matt Bryan out, and I was like, whatever. So you know how you are. You're getting ready. Man, as soon as this kick goes up and he misses it, we are hightailing it to the exit. And the kick went up, and we were like, what? And then the stands behind the goalpost went nuts. Referees raised their arm. I mean, we went fucking ballistic. That might be my favorite moment leaving a Bucks game, because it was insane. Just a regular season game, but insane. The shit talking going on back to the Eagles fans, man. That was awesome. Thank you for reminding me of that, Outlaw. Ryan's up next. Hey, Ryan.
What's going on, stick carriers? Justin, it's Ryan from Vegas. Haven't been able to contribute as much as I wanted to. Just been working out of town, so it's a little tough to keep up with the episodes and make sure I'm not sending in a stupid take. I think I'm all caught up now, so just wanted to definitely contribute one for Memorial Day weekend. You know, as a vet, I hope everyone remembers what this weekend's about. You know, all of the brothers and sisters that haven't made it home. But, you know, with that regards, you know, this is about family and spending time with your friends and, you know, having a good time. That's what we did it for. So enjoy it. Have a good weekend. To kick into that, Justin, if you want to start getting something going charity-wise with veterans, I mean, 22 veterans kill themselves a day. Fuck, we've had 30 kill themselves from my unit alone. Anything with that, I know we could gain a big following, and, you know, with the Air Force Base there in Tampa, you know, I think that's a well-worthy cause. And I like the idea of switching it up every year and, you know, finding something different each year. So without further ado, my favorite Bucks moment, it's real close, because I remember that Bucks game against the Niners. That's when I became a Bucks fan. But my one's got to be Bucks versus Saints 2007 season opener. Just got back from Iraq. First Bucks game I get to go to. It's hot as fuck. And I mean, I was just in Iraq, but there's not 100% humidity in Iraq. You know, it gets up there a little bit by the Euphrates and whatnot, but it was fucking 100 degrees, 100% humidity. I'm sweating my balls off just fucking sitting out there. But it was fucking great. I remember the play that sealed the win for us. Jeff Garcia hits fucking Joey Galloway, and Michael Clayton does the only thing he was really fucking good at with the Bucks, and that's block. Blows up the Saints guy, and Joey Galloway's off to the races. You know, I'm fucking pumped to have a guy like that again in DeSean Jackson. It was so much fun each week because you knew that Joey Galloway could take it at any time. So I'm fucking beyond ecstatic about having fucking DeSean Jackson. So that's got to be my number one moment as a Bucks fan myself. Hope everyone enjoys their weekend. As always, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
All right. Rah. All right. Hoorah, Ryan. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate your service and helping us enjoy Memorial Day because of you and everyone that has protected us out there. Let's stay out west. Let's go to Keith in SoCal. Hey, Keith.
Justin, Keith in SoCal, man. I'm going to go with the most enjoyable moment for me over most memorable because everybody's going to say either the title game or the Super Bowl. So most enjoyable game for me is the San Diego takeover. I should have done some research, found my Bucks take after that game because you played that shit on the air. My ass sounded like a fucking little three-year-old little baby girl that just found out that fucking unicorns are real. Dude, I was fucking elated, to use a Jameis term. Fucking elated. That whole experience was amazing, man. To party it up with the fucking Buckaholics at their tailgate, they took me right on in like family, kind of like how this podcast is. That's exactly what I correlate that damn draft party to that you guys had. That shit looked epic online. But them Buckaholics, man, they could fucking throw a hell of a tailgate. And I'm a fucking proud guy to say that I want to be a member of that shit too. I've been a member of this podcast since it was Commission Online Podcast. So I ain't going nowhere here. But to go up to my seats, on my way up to my seats, man, I run into Brian Ford. And the guy fucking has a full-blown five-minute conversation with me. Talking about Tampa and how long I've been a fan and if I've ever been there. And I've told him, no, I've driven 15, 16 hours to drive out to Denver to see you guys, but I haven't made it to Tampa yet. He has to use business card and says, you know what? Give me a call. We'll get you to Tampa. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm already fucking, now I'm super stoked. I'm fucking thinking I'm going to give me a fucking free trip to Tampa. Fuck yeah. And then to get to my seats, and see, half the stadium is fucking pewter and red. Are you fucking kidding me? We took that bitch over. Took it over. And then walk away with the W. And to basically fucking put the boards on the windows of the fucking Qualcomm Stadium. We shut that shit down. They went from San Diego to fucking Inglewood. Inglewood's fucking ghetto as fuck. That's my most enjoyable moment. I had the time of my life. Anyhow, that's my time, Kamish. Take care, stick carriers. Go Bucks.
All right, Keith, appreciate it. And thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I think what the Buckaholics do out west is kind of what we want to do on the East Coast. You know, I'll be honest. I had never heard of the Buckaholics. I don't know if they're alive and well in Tampa or anywhere throughout the state of Florida. But I like what they're doing out west, man. I mean, I saw the pictures. I saw the tailgate parties. I saw the amount of Bucks fans going to those games out there last year. And, man, if you guys want to keep doing that out west, we'll do our thing in the east. And one day we'll all get together and it will be fucking insane. So happy to coordinate everything I can with them. And as I said, I mean, this is just about us all coming together for one cause and partying together and celebrating together. And so I love what those guys, what everyone in the Buckaholics does on the West Coast. And hopefully we can do the same with this movement on the East Coast. Keith, thanks for sharing that. And that was a memorable game last year. against the Chargers. Let's go to our buddy Christian. Hey, Christian.
Kamish, what's up? Christian Perez back at you with another Bucks take, baby. So, yeah, real quick, most memorable. But before I give the most memorable moment, I got a confession to make, guys. I didn't really watch football growing up. I don't have a cool story like Justin or anybody. You guys can judge me, whatever. Listen, I grew up in a household that watched basketball. My dad wasn't really around, so, I mean, we're opening up to each other, right? So I'm being transparent. So, yeah, that's my little skeleton I have to share with you guys. I didn't start watching football until I met my wife and my father-in-law. God bless his heart, introduced me to this great team, and then I became obsessed. So, my favorite memory. I know everybody's going to use this one, but whatever. I don't give a shit. Listen, I will never forget the feeling I had when I saw Rondé Barber intercept that ball in the NFC Championship. And other one, when I met Monty Kiffin. Met him at Hooters, walked right up to me out of nowhere. I was in shock. I was in awe. I was 17 years old. I didn't know what the hell to do. Where did I put my hands? Don't know where to put them. Phenomenal guy. Awesome guy. He apologized to me because the team wasn't doing great. I was shocked. You know, it's like I'm seeing somebody that's real life and here in person right in front of me. What the hell's going on? Anyways, last one. I would have to say my very first game that I could afford to save up my money and go to. That was the year they won the Super Bowl against the Dirty Falcons. You guys remember that? John Gruden. Everybody's talking about how you're going to stop Michael Vick. Nobody talks about how you're going to stop this defense. That one. Yeah. God, everybody's seen that in a film clip. Sick. Allstott had a crazy long screen pass for a touchdown right in my end zone. Never forget it ever. So, Bricados, before, all that sweet shit. Headlines Barbershop, sports legends where you eat like a legend, you drink like a champ. And as usual, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Woo!
Was that Falcons game the one where it was like a third down, it was a crucial play, and like John Howell got in there and sacked Michael Vick? I was like, what is going on here? What in the hell? Howell, of all people? Oh, man. Christian, love it. Love it, love it. I love that everyone's sharing intimate details about themselves. Let's go to PJ. Hey, PJ.
Kamish! PJ from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. 90 seconds on the clock. Let's get it, roll credits, motherfucker! Bricados before sports legends and headlines. Memorable moment for the Bucks. For me personally, I'm going to go with Mike Allstott, baby! Fucking A-Train! God damn, that makes me want a fucking running back like that again. And I'm going to go with that moment where he ran over all of fucking Cleveland's defense. Fuck! Damn it! I want a fucking running back who hits a hole fucking hard, hits it with fucking authority, so goddamn hard when you see linebackers falling on their fucking ass from him plowing over them. Fuck, those were good times. Hopefully, one of our feature backs will turn into it. We'll see how that goes. As always, hope all is well with you and the fellow stick carriers. And as always, speak softly, boys. And carry that big motherfucking stick! Shake and bake.
Shake and bake. Can we do this? Can we go ahead and say that PJ is rising the ranks? I think so. All right, nice job, PJ, for coming on and sharing that with us. All right, let's keep it going. The OKC boys are coming up in a moment. I was going to play them next, but I want to tease. That's what's called a tease in the business. Let's get Delvin on. Hey, Delvin.
What's up, Kamish? This is Delvin from Palm Harbor. I haven't had a Bucks take in a while, but your memory thing for Saturday's podcast seems like a pretty good idea, man. So, I mean, I'm originally, my parents moved me up from California to Alaska. So I had no local football team to watch, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I gravitated just towards my Pop Warner team that I played for, Vikings. So I was like, oh, shit, you know, I miss the Vikings. They're awesome. You know what I mean? And then, you know, 2 years into playing football, my dad shows me this team, the red team, man, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm like, fuck, man, these guys are pretty, yeah, they're pretty badass, you know? I'm watching the game and everything like that, and I gravitated. I gravitated towards this one player, and 55, man. It was, you know, this dude was flying, man. And my dad's like, dude, you see that guy? Like, he plays football. the best way, man. You know, always in the ball, always making plays. I was like, well, Dad, who's that guy? Like, oh, it's Derrick Brooks. I was like, all right, cool. So come time to pick out jersey numbers and stuff like that, I'm like, hey, Dad, I want to wear 55. He's like, really? Okay. I'm in like Vikings colors, 55, all right. So I'm sitting there and everything on Christmas Day, and I open up a package, man, and it's a fucking Derrick Brooks jersey. Nah, man, I never looked back from there, man. So thank my dad for giving me a Derrick Brooks jersey. He showed me who Derrick Brooks was and showed me who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was, man. And from there, dude, I'm 27 years old. I never looked back. That's my team. That's my squad. I'm a little bit over my minute 30, but, man, just bring back a good time, man. Oh, and then my Pop Warner team, next year, they changed from the Vikings to the Buccaneers. So speak softly and carry that motherfucking stick. What's up?
What's up? Good one, Delvin. Good sharing that memory, too, up there in Alaska. You know, somebody posted on the Facebook page, the Stick Carrier Facebook group page, to rep their state. I think we might be in every state already, which is fucking amazing. It really, really is. Dom's in, I believe, Virginia, right, Dom?
What's up, Justin? What's up, Stick Carriers? It's Dom from Virginia. I just wanted to share my favorite Bucks memory. This one's kind of personal. So I was on spring break in Orlando with my family when I was young. I think I was maybe sixth grade, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, we're on our way out, and we were flying out of Tampa for some reason. Oh, yeah, because they took me to see Raymond James for the first time. And we heard about some meet and greet at a Smoothie King, because Michael Loop's the grand opening after Michael Pittman bought it. And I got to take a picture with Cadillac Williams, shake hands with Michael Pittman, and I got his autograph. Got to meet Ernest Graham. Ever since that, Michael Pittman's been one of my favorite Bucks. All right, speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick. Fire the cannons.
Dom, good. Appreciate you sharing that. Michael Pittman, one of his favorite Buccaneer players of all time. Mark the Mailman, standing by. He's ready with his Bucks take.
Justin, Mark the Mailman. This is fucking awesome. It's raining. So I'm going to sit out here and watch the rain and do my Bucks take. Here we go, Bucks memories. Some of y'all have heard this one already, but it's probably my best memory. So here we go. A cousin of mine served two tours in Iraq, and I met Mike Allstott, got a flag, got it signed to Cliff in Iraq, good luck, and took pictures of me and Allstott, sent him over to my cousin overseas, and he put it on top of his Humvee. He was in the front of a convoy. From what I understand, he was always the first truck, so that Bucks flag was flying proud for many months over there. So he comes back, I got a little mini keg, and we were hanging out, and he says, I gotta show you something. He brings out the flag with bullet holes in it, and he said, here it is, buddy. So that was pretty cool. And he just moved here recently from Oregon to town here in Tampa, so he brought the flag over to my house, and it's hanging on the bar on my back porch. So can't wait to hear the rest of y'all's memories, because I know we've all got some good ones. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
What an awesome story. I mean, to still have that flag with the bullet holes in it. Wow. Just amazing, some of the stories y'all have and that you're sharing with us. Fantastic stuff. Kevin's up with us. Hey, Kevin.
Justin, it's Kevin coming to you from Charleston, West Virginia today. I thought I'd chime in with my favorite Bucks play. Excellent question, because it forced me to take a little bit of an inventory of all my favorite memories from watching Bucks games, going to the stadium, good times, bad times, the way the team kind of got you through what was going on in your life, and you remember where you were and what happened and how you were feeling. And there were a lot, man. There were a lot of very memorable moments. from some not so great teams that were just good because they performed well in that moment, like that Falcons game in December 2005 that almost went to overtime, or that Rams game in 2010. My mom was going through chemotherapy at the time, and I was home with the most depressing with the most depressed old Colombian man, and went to the game and just had a great time, and it kind of lifted our spirits. But if I had to say my favorite Bucks play, would probably have to be the 2-yard touchdown run in the divisional round of the playoffs in 2000. Mike Allstott just wheeled himself into the end zone, and that play really embodied the spirit of that team. They weren't the best, they weren't the fastest, they weren't the most talented, but god damn it, they were going to punch you in the fucking dick over and over again until they got what they needed to, get. And, you know, they didn't win the championship that year, lost in heartbreaking fashion the next week, but still, that team just had a lot of fucking heart and a lot of will and a lot of desire, and I think that's evident in the fan base. We are resilient, we are faithful, we are loyal, and we are fucking powerful. And I think this movement is probably as much a reflection of that power and that resilience as much as it is a progenitor of that power and resilience. So as always, I commend you for your efforts, and I thank you for including me in a small part of this community. And man, I could go on. I could do my top 50 favorite Bucks plays, and each one of them would be tied to a memory. And I have a feeling there are a lot of stick carriers exactly like that. So I'm at 210 now. Ooh, 215, excuse me. But thanks, man. And as always, speak softly.
And carry a big motherfucking stick. A quick, not even a reminder, want to let you know, Rock Riley will be filling in as the host on 1040's morning show, 1040 AM, their morning show Tuesday and Wednesday of this upcoming week. So make sure you tune in to Rock Riley to get all your stuff that you need, you know, stuff, information. And, by the way, I'll be on with him Tuesday morning, I believe 7:15. It is censored, so I gotta watch my mouth. No fucks, no shits, none of that stuff. I gotta keep it clean. But I will be talking about the stick carrier movement, so make sure you tune in. 1040 AM in Tampa. I will tweet out and post the link on Facebook to how you can listen all throughout the great world we live in. Isn't that fun? So make sure you tune in for it. Aaron's up. Hey, Aaron.
Justin. Aaron from North Dakota. Fuck yeah! Super Bowl 55 is coming to Tampa. And I'll hopefully be a resident by then. I have a 2-year plan currently in the works to move from North Dakota all the way down to the great state of Florida and to the best city in Florida, Tampa. There's the good news, and now the bad news. Fucking Aguayo. Seriously? How the fuck is this guy this chip shot shit? Seriously, I don't want to hear the fucking excuses from those other people that said, oh, well, the field goal was this and that. It's not the game time type of field goal placement. You don't see Nick fucking Folk missing it. I do believe he went 4 for 4. What does Aguayo do? 1 for 4. Seriously, the guy is mentally weak. He's not the kicker he was in college. It's time to cut our losses with Aguayo and just either bring in a different kicker from the streets or just give Folk the job then. Aguayo continues to show he can't be trusted, so it's time to cut our losses. Now, I don't know if you've noticed on Twitter, but the Atlanta Falcons were trying to troll the Buccaneers a little bit. And the Buccaneers, whoever controls their Twitter page, gave the best comeback there is with the Hargraves-Jameis Winston 28-3 troll. Take that, you dirty bird bitches! As always, stick carriers, follow the light, cut the shit, and carry that big mother fucking stick.
All right, Aaron. Man, There were a lot of good things this week. Bucks on Twitter, trolling, Super Bowl coming here. It's a good time, man. It's just a really good time for the Bucks. Sean's up. Hey, Sean.
Kamish, what's going on? It's Sean in Carolina, checking back in with another Bucks take. Shout the sponsors. Let's get that out of the way. B4, Bricado, Sports Legends, and Headliners Barbershop. My greatest Bucks memory, not, you know, reinventing the wheel here. It's the NFC Championship game. We all know what the aura was surrounding that game. We had been there before. We couldn't get over the hump. The Eagles had broken our back, you know, been our adversary, things like that. So a lot of hype surrounding that game. So, you know, most or if all not Buck fans were excited every play for that game. Like every play was a live or die moment. So that being said, I watched the game at a friend's house, and I was wilding out so much during the game that I had to go watch the game by myself. His parents were asleep or whatever. I'm a lot younger. But another friend of mine had set up a camera and hit it that was focused on me while I was watching the game. I didn't know this until maybe like two quarters later or whatever. So I got to see all of my reactions, you know, unprovoked on camera, wilding out during the damn NFC Championship game. So you can imagine me looking completely fucking crazy while this is going on. All that excitement. You know, Rondé Barber ended that game, baby, onto the Super Bowl, onto the Super Bowl victory. That's my greatest Bucks memory, man. I got to see that raw fucking emotion unprovoked on camera, and it was amazing, man. It was amazing, obviously, because we won the game. All right, that's my Bucks take. That's my time. A little over, but I'm out. Love y'all, man.
Certain times I would love a hidden camera on me, and there's a lot of times where I wouldn't. But I think watching a Bucks game would be pretty funny to go back and just see the reaction on certain plays. Leads us to our final Bucks take for this Saturday podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. Already over 50 minutes long for you Bucks fans and stick carriers out there. So thanks again for downloading and being a part of this podcast. I teased that the OKC boys would be on, and without further ado, they wrap it up on this Saturday for us.
What's up, Kamish?
What up, Kamish?
What up, Stick Carriers? It's OKC Lack.
OKC Pat.
Back at you with a Bucks take, man. First of all, thank you, Kamish, for saving marriages down here in Oklahoma, man. These Saturday podcasts, you know, when the wife asks us to, you know, clean the house, done. Wife wants us to sweep and mop the floors,
done.
Wife wants us to do all the laundry,
done.
Wife wants you to pick up the dog shit,
done.
So we just want to say thank
ultimate
you.
Ultimate bitches.
Yep, we're the ultimate bitches, but thank you, Kamish, for the podcast. With this take, we're going back memory lane. That leads us to 2007, man. You know, the Falcons game where Michael Spurlock houses that kick. You know, a lot of people will probably comment on that, but check this out, man. Our story goes a little bit deeper than that. Back in 2007, you know, the Young and Pack and Lack show,
sir,
man.
Baby.
We were in Kansas at the time going to college, and we attend this party, man, and we see this fucking dude doing the Superman dance, wearing pearl snaps, Wranglers, boots, with a Fu Manchu and a fucking mullet, Kamish. We're like, who the fuck is this guy?
And we fucked up as fuck.
So anyways, fast forwards, we start talking to him, man, the next week, and he tells us this story about how he moved across country, and he basically just got kicked out of his house. You know, he met this girl, and
she kicked him out.
He's basically homeless, living on a fucking couch. So, you know, with all those stick carriers out there, we hear your story, man. And
lots of shit.
There's a lot of shit. You just never know. And, you know, this night when he was dancing, he was just drinking, going through a lot of shit, man. So just never know what people are going through. Anyways, man, he comes over and he's wearing a fucking Cleveland Browns hat, Kamish.
That's why the bitch probably left him. Fuck.
We said, David, you got to clean up. First of all, cut the fucking mullet. Cut the fucking Fu Manchu. Let's get you looking right.
And he got faded. Fucking, he got faded up like Christian.
Let's fucking get you some Bucks gear. So, man, he went and got that haircut. He comes over wearing diamond earrings. We're giving that Buck shit. He replaced the fucking John Deere t-shirt with a fucking Bucks t-shirt.
Yes, sir, baby.
Man, he got some confidence, Kamish. That's all people need in life at times, man. They just need some confidence. He was down on his luck. We gave him some fucking confidence. He comes over, Kamish. His
first
game was
first
the Atlanta
game.
Falcons game.
Fucking house call, baby.
Fucking Spurlock house is the king.
What the fuck?
He said, what the fuck, man? First fucking game, you come over and this shit happens. So,
for life, baby!
So we said, brother, you got to be a Bucks fan for life, man. So then, you know, our careers ended up moving us to Oklahoma City, and we brought the, we brought David with us, you know.
Oh,
and
yes,
we said, David stayed in down in Kansas, and we fucking renamed him when we made this fucking move down to Oklahoma. We renamed him. We gave him the nickname, the fucking Pimp. So he moved out here. He was all sorts of swagged up with that Bucks fucking gear.
Yes, sir, baby.
And he's completely changed his life around, man.
He took it another level, like, he got that tattoo.
Yeah, and then he comes over. He's like, hey, brothers, look at my new fucking gear. I'm like, brother, you ain't wearing no fucking gear. Commish, he rolls his fucking sleeve up. He got a big fucking Bucks logo tattooed on his forearm, Commish.
He fucking bucked up for life, baby.
I was like, holy shit. Anyways, man, it's been 10 years since we've been down here in Oklahoma. He's doing great. We're doing great. We're all three married.
Yes, sir, baby.
He has two stepkids, man, and everything is great in his life. So if you see him on Twitter or Facebook,
holler at him, baby.
Holler at the fucking pin. So with that said, we'll leave you with this. Shh. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Wait a minute.
Hold
on a second. Is that who the fuck?
Who just showed up?
It's that Locke.
It's the fucking Pimp.
What's up, Pimp?
What up?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Pimp, you got any words?
Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Those guys are fantastic. They emailed me. They're like, hey, listen, went a little long. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, when you make it that entertaining and you get that much passion, we'll let it slide once or twice, especially for the OKC boys. That's going to do it for our Saturday podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you allowed it to kind of make your weekend a little easier. And by the way, there will not be a podcast on Monday. There won't be a podcast on Monday. I'll be out of town. And I'm actually recording the Saturday one on Wednesday, so don't want to work that far in advance. So nothing on Monday. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I'll get with the Joes, see if they want me to post one on Tuesday. If not, I'll have one coming for you on Wednesday. So hopefully you enjoyed a trip down memory lane. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. If you run into a vet, if you run into somebody serving our country, make sure you take care of them. Buy them a meal, buy them a drink, buy them something. And say thank you for what they've done to allow us to pretty much party all weekend, which is why we all love this long Memorial Day weekend. All right. Enjoyed it, as always. And as always, we bring it right back to this. Oh, baby.
Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Yowzers. Nailed it.